Lord started putting this on my heart, and comes to find out most of what I'm going to teach you is already in the Constitution. It's kind of interesting, but I didn't see it that way. And he showed me from a different perspective. I want you to go to Proverbs 9 tonight. So Proverbs 9, verse 1 says, wisdom has built her house, is building, has built her house, and she has hewn out her seven pillars. That word hewn is like a mason that hews out stone, and he basically sees an image within that stone, and he's going to hew and he's going to cut into that stone until the image that he sees in that stone comes out. And anything that's not of that image is going to get cut away. Amen. And we're that stone that he is carving on. Amen. The Bible says she's building her house. Say her house. And this is specifically speaking of the house of kings, the house of David, house of Solomon. She built the house of David. She built especially the house of Solomon, which was a full expression of the king priest government. There was no expression like Solomon's. We've been talking about this lately. She built that. And Solomon, he attributed that to his relationship with wisdom, what he had entered into. Because when he started, he didn't even know how to come out or go in, like most of us. You know, we call it simplicity. Whoso is simple, but whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. But I'm sure a lot of us qualify. If we kind of look at some of the mistakes we've made in our life, every area of our life, just think about if she had been there with us. Amen. Some of the things that we would not have done, financial mistakes, so on, so on. But she's there. She's building her house. She's building the king's house. And it just so happens she's going to build that house again, because she was specifically speaking of David's house, Solomon's house. And we see and know in Revelation chapter 3 that he that has the keys to the house of David, he's opening that house again. So wisdom is going to be building. She's going to build the last day house of God. This is the last day expression of God before we get taken out. She's going to build it. She's going to release it. She's already been building it for quite some time, which is amazing. Call this message the crown, the seven operations of the sevens. I want you to back up for a moment in Proverbs 8, verse 1. Does not wisdom call out and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth. This is her position in the top, say in the top of the high places, the top, the summit. That Hebrew word is rosh. That's the Hebrew word for top, the summit. That is the exact same word, by the way, that speaking of Zechariah 4 is that he would bring forth, which is the latter day, last day house of God, the final stone, the capstone, called it the headstone. That was rosh, the headstone. That Zerubbabel would bring that final stone out, which is the crown, which a lot of scholars call the crowning stone. You call it the final stone, capstone, top stone, but it's the same word, the rosh. It's the crown. That's where she stands. That's where she builds from. That's where she invites you to, into the high places. Amen? That's the access point that she's calling you from, and that's why I said in the latter part of that chapter said, blessed is the man watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors, because there is a door, there's a way to the high places to dwell with wisdom and to receive all that she has. Tonight I'm going to talk to you more about her house. It's also, if you look at Proverbs 4, it says wisdom is the principal thing. Well, thing is not in the Hebrew. It's just wisdom is principal. She is the summit. She basically, what you're saying is she is the crown. Wisdom's the crown. And she said that a crown of glory she will give to you. She's the crown. She's the rosh. It doesn't get any higher than wisdom. Amen. This is not the kind of knowledge you're going to find in a textbook. It's not knowledge anyway. She gives knowledge. It's part of her administration. But wisdom is a relationship with the divine intelligence of God. That's the best way I could say it. Wisdom is a relationship with the divine intelligence of God. It's an intelligence that goes far beyond man, and by the looks of things, we all could use some more. I could use some. How many, by way of hands, could use some? So she's principal. She's the crown. She's the summit. She's inviting you up. Notice what she does. If you'll read Proverbs 1 through 9, you're going to find something about wisdom, that she is calling you to where she is. She's calling you to where she is. She'll come down, but she calls you. She's calling. And she's calling you to where she dwells. It's always calling you up into the high places. Closer to the heart, into the high places. Amen? Calling you. Hallelujah. And she says, therefore, get wisdom, get understanding. She shall give thy head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory. She will, the Bible says, deliver. Say, deliver. That is, it's magon. And notice what it means. It means to encompass with. The word deliver, she'll encompass you with a crown of glory. Tonight I want to talk to you about that crown of glory, that house she's building. She's building the house of the crown. So go back, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 9. Because she built David's house, she built Solomon's house. She's the one that built, you can say she's building her house. You can say wisdom is building her house of the crown. That's what she builds. Amen? It says she's building the house of the crown. And notice this, she's hewing out as a mason would hew out stone. She's carving out an image, her seven pillars. Tonight, that's what I'm going to talk about, is the seven sets of seven operations. There's seven different operations of seven. It means it's perfection. She's building a perfect house. And she's been building for quite some time, honestly. We've been in this building process. You'll see, even from the day we went in the ministry, we went in the ministry with this book right here. This book came out of a confessional manual that I created with these note flip cards, and flipped them, and I wrote all these scriptures out, and I would flip them all day long. I had four or five of these things. I'd flip them and just confess them all day. Back then, that's all I knew was confession. I didn't understand what we know today, how to dwell in these places and how to keep his word and administrate all this before him. But I did what I knew, but we'd flip them. But that turned into this confessional manual. And it says she's building, hewing out her seven pillars. Now, I started looking at that a couple of days ago, and I started looking at who builds. Look at in this church, we kind of have a square church. You see the three pillars over here on the left and the three pillars over here? Okay, so that's six pillars. She builds with seven. So can you imagine what it would look like if you had seven pillars, four on that side and three on this side? It would be a wumpy-jawed building. But what kind of building would you build with seven pillars? How could you build a building with seven pillars if one side would be longer than the other? He builds a round, seven pillars around building of seven pillars, a circular building. She's building a crown. Her house, she builds the house of the crown. That's what she's all about. Notice who she invites in chapter 8. Kings, not people that are reigning as kings, ones that will reign. Nobles, judges. These are the ones she invites to her table. She calls the simple to her table. In the world, you can be born in privilege, and you can live a life of privilege. But in the kingdom, and not everyone's born equal in the world system. It's just the truth. Some people are born in privilege, some are not. But in the kingdom, everybody is born in privilege. Amen? Everybody's born equal with different callings, but we're born in privilege. You have to believe that, though. And you have to understand your inherited right of that privilege and how to obtain that privilege. And what God is saying, no matter what and how you grew up, when you get into the kingdom, no matter what your past, I can introduce you to someone far greater than you. I can introduce you to wisdom. I can bring you into the divine intelligence of wisdom. And this is what Proverbs 8 and 9 is all about, is this invitation to wisdom's table where she can build the house of the crown, not only in this church, but in our lives, over this city and over this nation. She's going to build it. She's promising she's going to build it, especially in the last days, because he has the key to the house of David. He's reopening it. Wisdom is going to build again. Amen. Now I'm going to get into these seven tonight. It's very interesting that when we began the ministry back, 21 years ago. This is what we preach day in and day out. So we started with this because the only thing we needed, and the basis was this, that these seven pillars, the first part of this was revealed to me, was James chapter 3, so you can go over there. So this is the first operation of sevens. There's seven operations of seven. All of this is part of the house she's building. Some of these things she's been building for quite some time with us. Some of these things she's yet to build that are about to happen. But the house, the foundation of the house has been set, and she's going to crown it in this last hour. And with that, all of the glory of that house is coming. Amen. So we're going to see some of the multi-layered operations that wisdom is building. Praise God. It's a blueprint of heaven. It would have been nice if God had given this to us up front. It was part of our journey to understand all of this. It gets deeper and deeper and deeper as you develop into the sevens. So the first set of sevens is found in James chapter 3, verse 17. It says, the wisdom that is from above is first pure. That's righteousness. She is going to carve out righteousness. That is her foundation, the righteousness of Christ. It's first pure, then peaceable. Say peaceable. Gentle. Wisdom is not harsh or unruly. There's a gentleness. She's going to carve out gentleness in us. Amen. She carves out gentleness. She takes the harshness out, the unruliness out. She carves peace. So when you see a stone that doesn't have any peace, just get ready because the chisel is going to happen. But she's going to chisel and chisel and chisel and chisel and chisel until you come to peace. Until still not my image. Keep chiseling. Comes back and inspects. God looks at our heart of stone and says, okay, need to chisel over here, chisel over there. It's not all about chiseling. If that's all you ever know about God is the chiseling factor, you're never going to enjoy God. But it is about conforming to his image. She is going to conform. She is not. You cannot seek God and stay the same. Amen. It doesn't matter about how many mistakes you make. God has mercy for a lifetime of mistakes. Remember that. God has mercy. Write that down. For a lifetime of mistakes. His mercy endure forever. All he asks from you is to seek him. To keep him at the forefront of your life. If you'll do that, she's going to continue conforming you to the image. She's going to build righteousness, peace, gentleness, humility. One of the fourth ones, humility. What's what I mean? Easy to be entreated. It's actually humility. Full of mercy. That's one of the things she's going to make you a merciful person. Because she's going to show you a lot of mercy. How many have been shown mercy in here? Raise your hands. How many need a lot of mercy? Raise your hand. Full, say full of mercy. Full. God's, you can write this down, more merciful than he is judgmental. If you know him, you'll find out he's a whole lot more merciful than he is judgmental. It takes a lot to tick God off. Do you understand that? It takes a lot to get him upset. And if he gets upset, well, you might get roasted. But it takes a lot. If you have a repentant heart before God, and it's sobbed before God, and you make mistakes all the time, you're still in good shape because you're still soft and repentant before God. It's only when you start hardening yourself, that's when you're going to get in trouble. Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, that's equality. Wisdom is equality. She does not see race, color. She sees everything equal. All of that is born out of man. She does not differentiate by cultures. She doesn't differentiate by social status. She doesn't do that. She doesn't put one above another because this person's got it all together and this one doesn't. She doesn't see things that way. She has an image. She is sent to build the image of Christ in you. And she'll never stop building that image. You may not see yourself the way wisdom does, but she's going to chisel that image as you continue to walk and continue to hold and continue to cleave. She's building the image of equality. And if we can get that, this nation would turn around a lot. What we need is the equality of God. Amen? And she builds in truth. Those are the seven. So righteousness, peace, gentleness, humility, mercy, equality, and truth. Those are the seven pillars that you can call that foundation of her house. Two and a half of these seven are foundation. Amen. The other two and a half are, I would say, flows from her. And the last two are operations. I'll get into that as we go. All right. So that's the seven. That's the first set of seven. Seven pillars of wisdom. We have a whole confessional manual with all the scriptures on all of those. How we got into a lot of this, we used to confess this little guy right here sometimes 4 to 5 times a day in the beginning. The whole thing, all the way through. It opened a realm of God's wisdom for us in the latter days. I mean, we confess, and then all of a sudden he started opening these mysteries of God. Well, we believed him for that. We just didn't know that's what we were believing for. But this was just one of the seven functions that she was building. Amen? Her foundation. All right? So number two is foundation as well. She builds in the seventh day of rest. I want you to go to Hebrews 4. She's going to build the seventh day of rest. What is the seventh day of rest? That's when God ceased from all his works. The Bible says the foundation, it says the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Everything was done, was finished before God started. When he sat down, it was done. Amen. The only thing that got God to stand back up is Christ. He came, he stood up, he went to the cross and went back and sat down again. God has only stood up once. He stood up once, created all things, sat down the seventh day. Stood up again, restored all things, sat back down. All right? Hebrews 4. Verse 3, for we which have believed do enter into rest. Anybody heard of us talk about rest any in the last 5, 6, 7 years? Anybody ever heard any messages on the rest, Lily's Grace, any of that? Who you think was building all that? Who was teaching all that? Who was constantly teaching us that? Wisdom. She's been with us the whole time. He says, believe to enter the rest, as he said, I've sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place on the seventh day, say the seventh day. On the seventh day, God did rest the seventh day from all his works. He's talking about entering into the kind of rest where it's finished, where it's done, where God has already sat down. See, if you're still trying to move God, you don't understand he's already finished. Your faith is not designed to move God. Your faith is designed to appropriate what he's already done. You have to approach God from the position of the finished work. It's already done. My faith is there to appropriate the place it's already done. Amen? So he sat down. We sit. We've been raised together, made to sit together in heaven. He teaches us how to enter into his rest. He teaches us how to move in these realms of rest. Notice what he says. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. He that entereth into God's rest also has ceased from his own works as God did from us. Let us therefore labor. She's shooing that out. She's preparing a seventh day rest. It's part of her house. It's part of her seven pillars, a foundation of rest in our life. I'm not talking about sitting on a couch, and I'm not talking about going on vacation, even though vacations are cool. But most of the time when you go on a vacation, you come back worn out. I'm talking about a spiritual place we acclimate to, where we unload our sufficiency. We unload our burdens. We unload those things that are concerning us. We live in a state of freedom and liberty. It's part of her house. She doesn't build in busyness. She builds from the rest. She doesn't build out of heaviness or weariness or toil or harassment or labor. She builds from the state of rest. And she's going to lay that into your foundation. And she's going to lay it deep. And she's going to relay it and relay it and relay it until it's there. Amen? Until you learn to live that way all your life. That you're not just tossed and turned all the time. You can run a whole business and stay in the rest. And all of a sudden, when you're in this operation of the rest, you can get things done because you're in his rest, not in your works. And that changed a lot, didn't it? Because now whenever you're feeling burdened, you can just stop. go acclimate, move into the rest, and move on. And when you learn to do that, you can do this 2 or 3 times a day. You can just stay in there. It doesn't take hours. You just learn to shift. When the Lord got into Peter's boat, he showed him and said, Peter, you're doing all this the wrong way. You're toiling all night long. Let me get in your boat. And he sat down. We do things differently, Peter. You work all night, I'll sit down. And then I'm going to launch you out and I'll give you a big catch. I'm going to show you how the rest works. This is how she built her house. She builds it from this platform of rest, the seventh day. Isn't that awesome? She's going to work it in you. You might as well just surrender it to it. You're not going to win that battle, I promise. When you get under works and Amalek, I mean works can multiply on you. It can go to heaviness and you can get under a cloud of Amalek. And we have teachings on that. I mean, your whole life can get it all out of order and all out of frequency with God. You can't get anything done right. When you're in that kind of vein, the harder you try, the worse it gets. Because God's going to say, this is not how we're going to do life. I'm building my house. Praise God. Okay, operation number 3. Isaiah 11. This is called the seven spirits of God. Actually, the Holy Spirit's called the seven spirits of God, but here's the seven operations. These first two were foundational. Those were the foundations. Amen? These start moving into the function of wisdom, the operations of wisdom. But there's one major foundation here. So Isaiah 11:2, it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Spirit of the Lord, that is glory. She will give to you a crown of what? Glory. That's the first one. Spirit of the Lord is glory. Shall rest upon you. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. That's seven. Those are seven. Glory, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of the Lord. That's the seven spirits of God. She builds her house. Now that gets in not only foundation because the fear of the Lord is the foundation. The rest of those are function. Amen? Now we're getting into the function. Wisdom's house has a function. It's not just chiseling all the time. But there is chiseling involved. How many of you have been into the chisel, the winnowing fork, two-edged sword? Anybody touch any of that? You don't have to go looking for it. Just search for him. I'm sure you'll run right into it. Praise God. But he's very loving the way he does it. Hallelujah. But very thorough. Hallelujah. So those are the seven spirits of God. The Banah's in there. That understanding, that is the divine intelligence of God. She gives that to you. That's part of the function of her house. That's part of what she's going to administrate to you and through you. Amen? Operation number 4. This is the part we're looking for. These are the ones we're after. All right, go to Revelation 5. Three of these operations are found in Revelation 5. Three of the next operations. All right? The eyes, say the seven eyes of omnipresent. I call omnipresent omniscience. Why do you call it omnipresent omniscience? Somebody asked me that question. Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place. They go to and fro the whole earth. They're not bound geographically. Even Paul could see. He could actually visit churches in the spirit. He goes, I was with you in spirit, joy, and behold in your order. Elijah could actually see into the enemy's camp. He went right into the enemy's camp. He knew what the enemy was going to do. And the king said, who is telling my secrets away? He said, Elijah. He said, well, none of us. It's Elijah. He can hear what you whisper in your bedchamber. Boom. Those are the eyes of the Lord given to man, given an operation to man. When Gehazi left Elisha and ran after that money, he goes, did not my spirit go with you? I watched everything you did. They allow you to see beyond your geographical boundaries, beyond your scope of influence. They can see not only anything and everything in that which is, they can see anything and everything in that which was, and they can see anything and everything in that which is to come. The seven eyes of the Lord will be one of the greatest operations the church has ever given in these last days. It's how we'll build. We'll build effectively because we will have the seven eyes of the Lord upon us. given access. How would you have, like, access to seven eyes? Do you have any idea what she'll do for you? She already promised what she'd do. Read chapter 8 of Proverbs. This is what I'll give you. This is what's behind the door. This is what's at the king's table. This is the meat I'm serving, the wine I'm serving you. You're not going to be the same. I'm going to give you something in the realm of divine intelligence that no school could ever give you. It's not Bible school. It's not knowledge. It's not just reading and getting more knowledge. Knowledge. It's the bana. It's the access to the divine intelligence of God. It's part of his crown. It's part of what he wears. Revelations 5:6, behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as he had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes. These are the seven spirits of God. He was standing there crowned with the seven horns and the seven eyes. It was part of his crown. See, what did she say to the church of Philadelphia? I have the key to the house of David. I'm opening this house again. Where does Christ sit right now? And what throne does he sit on? He sits on David's throne now. He'll bring that throne down to the earth. He brought it up. He never sat on David's throne, but the Bible already says he sits on David's throne now. After the throne of David to establish it. The increase is governing peace. There's no end after the throne of David to establish it forever. When he died, everything died with him. And when he rose, everything rose. And God reassigned the crown of David. There was no more king coming out of that lineage in the earth. God put that crown on Christ and he rose. And there was given him a glory, a dominion, and a kingdom. It was David's kingdom. It was given to him. And the crown of David, he took up into heaven. He sat down. He said, I will set my king on the holy hill of Zion. And when he's sitting there, he crowned him with a perfected crown. David's crown, but perfected. Now it has, whenever you see seven, it's perfection. Whenever you see seven times seven, like we're talking about tonight, you're talking perfection on steroids. You're talking about some serious stuff she's offering to us. The crown of seven eyes. Why seven? Because that's God's perfection. Whenever you see seven, it's perfection. Perfection times perfection. To seven eyes of the Lord, she builds with it. She's giving it to us because these are the seven spirits of God, what? Sent forth into all the earth. That's about to happen. That chapter will happen in our hour. That was what that midnight meeting we did the other night was all about, the ushering event of that day. We are in the divine season for divine intelligence. How many can use some divine intelligence? Man, some of you are going to walk in here and say, God just gave me a witty invention. And your eyes are going to be like that. Coke bottle glass eyes. She says she gives the knowledge of witty invention. This house is going to be full of it. I'm telling you. The bana is going to sit down in this house. This is the kind of stuff God will make us things we've never been before. The world's put such a priority, and I understand we need education because even wisdom uses education, but we use it so much that we call education the answer to everything. But wisdom's higher than any. Seven eyes of the Lord trump all things. In fact, he says that Zerubbabel builds with the seven eyes of the Lord. He builds the final temple in Zechariah 4. The seven eyes are present. Operation number 5. So what do we have thus far? Seven pillars of wisdom, seven day of rest, seven eyes of the Lord, seven spirits of God, seven eyes of the Lord. Amen? This number 5 is in the same verse. He says, and I beheld a lamb in the midst of the throne, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, it had been slain having seven horns. Say seven horns. So seven horns. Now people get messed up with the seven horns thing because of the Antichrist is the little horn. But you have to understand in the book of Revelation, that is lingo for kings and kingdoms. It's horns. Horns is a king or a kingdom. That's the way they're described in the book of Revelation. Here, Christ is wearing the seven horns. He's wearing the perfection of the kingly anointing. Seven horns means perfection. You're not going to get it. It's what David received times seven is perfection. God perfected the crown with Christ. Amen. Those horns are what I call the omnipotent dominion of God. There's no higher dominion than those seven horns. They hold precedence over all things. They hold dominion over all things. He wears it. He's sharing it. He's going to release it to his church in the last days. The crown that he's wearing is going to release into the earth. These are the seven spirits of God. It's the seven horns and the seven eyes and one crown. It's going to release upon the house that wisdom is building. She's going to crown her house with the seven eyes and the seven horns. Boom! When she crowns us, number six and number seven are going to come to pass. When she crowns us, and we are in the hour, in the minute, in the day, we're in the threshold, we're in the Jordan, we've been baptized in the Jordan, we died in the Jordan, we get crucified in the Jordan, but we're there. Praise God. Chiseled in the Jordan. These, by the way, kind of interesting, because Joshua the high priest was given the seven eyes. This was foreshadowing. This is the imagery when they came out of the promised land. Remember, we taught on this just recently. When they came out of the promised land, first time they came in the promised land, what's the first place they went? Jericho. The ark went around the Jericho seven times. And he says, now seven priests with seven ram's horns are going to encamp around Jericho. You're encompassed. You're basically, God was building a crown around Jericho. He says, listen, I'm going to build a crown around you. I'm going to march around you, and I'm going to establish my crown for 7 days of light. And by the time I'm done, your walls will fall, and my crown will be over Jericho. Because those seven eyes with the seven priests were the representative of the seven eyes of the Lord, and they had seven trumpets of ram's horns, which represented the seven horns. And all they had to do was blow the horns, and the walls fell. They didn't even have to pick up a sword. God leveled the whole city. That was a representation. We move into this realm of the promised land. No matter how high the walls of Mammon are, they're going to fall. God said, listen, this day I give you the king of Jericho. I give you his gold. I give you his crown. I'm giving you his mighty men of valor. They're all bowing. The king of Tyre will bow. The fiat currency architects will bow. We're in the hour to receive. Let me just say this about this crown. God promised this way, 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 way back to Abraham. He said, listen, kings are going to come out of your loins, and in blessing, I'm going to bless you, and in multiply, I'm going to multiply, because I'm going to multiply some kings to you. You can't imagine. I'm going to bring them out of your lineage. And when he buried him in Mount Hebron. And that's what Caleb inherited. And that's where David was crowned. He was crowned with the inheritance of Abraham on that mountain first before he went to Jerusalem. And then he took that to Jerusalem, and then all the lineage of kings. And then Christ takes that crown up into heaven, and he's going to release that crown to a last day church. He's going to take his priests, he's going to put them on a king's throne, and God is going to produce a nation of kings. You're going to see kings, the body of Christ, the simplistic body of Christ, going to be suddenly crowned with omnipresent omniscience, and suddenly crowned with omnipotent dominion, and suddenly crowned with a crown that David wore. You're going to wear that crown in the last hour. Somebody say hallelujah. That is what he's promising. And it's going to bear fruit. It's going to bear lots of fruit. It's going to bear operations. These are functions, but it's about to be in the fruit level. These last two are the fruit level. We are in the day, because we're in the Jordan. We're in the time, the 70th year fulfilled. All of it's all done. Even the lampstand and the coin that the Sanhedrin produced is standing over Trump and Cyrus saying, listen, this lamp is the one that's going to do this. And on the backside of the coin, it's the temple made in the shape of a king's throne with a crown on the top of it. Who would have thunk that? Praise God. God wants to teach us to see in a different dimension. Don't look at things in the natural. Stop eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It promises you everything, delivers nothing. Look at the tree of life. Look from the truth. Let God open it. Walk by his truth. Walk by the imagery his word is providing. Operation number six. All this is in the house she's building. She's building the house. She's going to crown the house. And all the function of this is going to flow out of, seven spirits of God are going to flow out of, seven eyes, seven horns, the crown's going to flow, and watch what the crown's going to produce. Operation number six. Love this one. The seven inheritances of the crown. Now we've moved from foundation to function to fruit, our operations, outflow. This is now what she's going to build and release out. Amen. Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. Said how the elders saying with a loud voice, worthy, say worthy, is the Lamb. See, they're seeing him getting crowned. They see him crowned, and the elders start shouting, and they're seeing the seven spirits of God about the release in the earth, and they're saying all this because in the next chapter, seven spirits of God are releasing, and they're seeing all this, and they're saying, worthy is the Lamb to receive. See, he received all this on our behalf. To receive what? Power. That's dunamis. Fullness of dunamis. The full restoration of dunamis power beyond the church in the last days. Dunamis. Power. Riches. That's the wealth transference. Wisdom. Undergirded by wisdom. Here we go. Wisdom again. Strength. Honor. Glory and blessing. Seven inheritances. You can't write this stuff. Seven times seven. Perfection. Seven inheritances coming out of that crown. That means power is coming out of that crown. Omnipotent dominion. That means a wealth transference is coming out of that crown. That means wisdom's coming out of that crown. Honor. God is going to set his church in a position of honor. Honor is coming out of that crown. Glory. She says he'll be a crown of glory to us. Same kind of glory as over Solomon. The Shekinah glory will return to the church. And blessings everywhere. And then finally, I call it the seven pillars of apostolic government. I received this in a fast, a time of 5 21-day fast, back to back. 21 days on, 21 days off, 21 days on, 21 days off. But these weren't just fasting food. They were fasting everything. I locked myself up in somebody's house, and we took all the TVs out, all the radios, all the books, nothing but a Bible, water, this juice that they made, the Master's Cleanse juice, some a little bit of broth, and I was locked up with me, myself, and I for 21 days. You don't even know what it's like until you run into yourself. And back then, that wasn't a very fun person to run into. And it didn't take me about a day to run into myself, and I'm like, 21 days of me? I know how to get above it back then, so I just, most of my 21 days, there's 21 days of me and all my issues, and I had a lot of them. But there were breakthrough days. But during that time, there were times that God really broke through in amazing ways. And one of the things he broke through with was these seven pillars of apostolic government. He gave me this. He said, this is going to be built. I thought we were going to come out and the doors were going to blow off the church. And we were going to rock and roll. I mean, I thought as soon as we got out, these seven pillars were going to go. And I mean, in fact, we were called Covenant Worship Center coming in. We were called Houston Revival Center coming out. There was a change of name during that time. And Chuck goes, well, you might want to slow down a little bit. I'm like, I just came out of 5 21-day fast. We're changing the name. And we had revival on our brain, you know, and the seven pillars of revival, apostolic government. Salvation, worship, the whole Constitution back then was built off those seven pillars alone. We built the foundation of that Constitution. It was going to be a center of salvation, a center for worship, a center for intercession, a center for deliverance, a center for divine healing, and a center for benevolence, and a center for discipleship. And God was going to make it the greatest thing ever, praise God. But we were only, what, 15 years out of season? She is going to build that, though. She's going to build a center of salvation. This is the Father's house. It's going to be a center for global salvation. But it's not going to be run the way we thought it was going to be run. It's not going to be run in the old order. It's going to be run under the crown. It's going to be run by wisdom. She is going to crown this house and give us something we don't have. If God wanted to build with what we had, he had already built it. He wants to build with something else. That's why our whole life was dedicated to follow him. In fact, he let that whole tree that we were building, because out of that thing, we started our building process. And God says, no, that's not how we're going to do it. And he chopped the thing down. And then he started taking us up in the right hand of God. And that's where we are now. Praise God, brought us all the way up into the Jordan, and she's about to crown us. She's not crowning one person. She's going to crown the house. She's going to crown Solomon's old world. But she's going to set all of this in a place, and it's going to be a center of salvation and a center of worship and a center of deliverance and a center of intercession and a center of benevolence and divine healing and a center of discipleship. Amen? She's going to do that. And it's got to be done under the crown. It's not going to be done with what is. It's going to be done with that which is to come. And we've been in all this journey to get to this place. We have sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings to get to this place. That's all right. Amen? Because we're at the gate now. And that's what she's building now. She wanted to understand. She's culminating what we started with. What she's finishing with, she's been with us the whole time. But she's about to unload something magnificent upon us. All I can say is get ready, get ready, get ready. Amen? Stay in faith, stay in position, stay in harmony. Stay in frequency of God. Keep your faith alive. She's building her house. Should you just close your eyes a minute? I want to pray for this crown just for a moment before we leave. She's building something so awesome. There's an atmosphere. Because the Bible says she encompasseth us with the crown. She's encompassing us. The crown of glory she will encompass you with. All of these things she's encompassing with. I want you to just move in a place of rest for a minute. I want you to be. I want to pray. God, lift us up into the summit. To the place of wisdom's house. Acclimate for a moment.
Thank you.
Clothe us, Lord.
We give you access to.
We give you access. Turn our hearts towards you now.
Take it
on the wings of a great eagle, lift us up.
You give us access to all.
To the mountain of God.
You are, it's the great exchange.
The great exchange of wisdom. Great exchange of wisdom.
You give us access to all.
We thank you that you lift us up into your mount. We thank you for lifting in your house. You clothe the beauty of your house. You're building your house, wisdom. You've been building. Some time we've been building. We opened you.
Heaven's already open. All you know. All we have to do is open.
We thank you. We give you glory. So we come up into this place. You tonight. As we're settling, we come up into the place of the crown, to the pinnacle of the building, to the summit, to the headstone, to the place where you stand. We honor you, wisdom, and thank you that you've been with us the whole time, leading, guiding, building, teaching, training, equipping, transforming. That you've been building in us the house, carving the seven pillars of wisdom, hewing out righteousness, building the foundations of peace, gentleness, humility, mercy, equality, truth. You teach, you've taught us, and trained us, and equipped us on the seventh day of rest, building the foundations of rest, teaching us to operate in a position that's not by might, not by human power. It's built by you, administrated by you, and with you, and through you. We honor the rest, the lily's grace, this amazing place you gave us along this journey to facilitate rest, to unload burdens, to exchange who we are for who you are. You're building, you've been building, equipping, laying the foundations of the seventh day of rest, where God did cease from all of his works. That you have ceased, you have finished this work. You're calling us to acclimate to what has been done, what has been finished. You're calling us to a house of perfection, to a foundation of perfection, to a circular house of the crown, that you're building this house of the crown here. We're all a part of it. We're all a part of the crown. We'll all receive the crown. We'll all wear the crown. We're the foundation of wisdom. The seven spirits of God doth rest upon us. The spirit of glory. The crown of glory you will give unto us. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might. The understanding of the Bana, the divine intelligence of God. Knowledge and the fear of the Lord, you encompassing us with the seven pillars of wisdom, encompassing us with the seventh day of rest, encompassing us with the seven spirits of God, clothing us in an atmosphere of glory. Wisdom, understanding, counsel, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord, crowning us with the seven eyes of omnipresent omniscience. Oh, do we look for that crown? Oh, do we stand in agreement for the hour and the day that you will release the crown of seven eyes and seven horns upon your church. Grant us the first fruits of this crown. Grant us forerunner operations of it. Grant us forerunner operations as you did John G. Lake when you sent him into Africa. Before he ever got there, you had downloaded the political landscape, the financial landscape, the religious landscape of the whole nation. He had the inherent knowledge of the nation, the field he was ministering in before he ever got there. This kind of access to the seven eyes and the seven horns of omnipotent dominion that you're crowning this house with, that you're going to crown the last day house. You're building the house of the crown. We've come into fullness, into an hour to receive of all that you've been building, of all the years you've been with us, all the years you've journeying with us, all the years you've been preparing through revelation, preparation, transformation, all the years you led us and taught us all the foundations. Now we can stand on the 12 foundation stones of apostolic government in this Jordan. And we can now begin to move into the frequency of the crown, knowing it's our hour and our time to come out, to hear the words, come. Come to the table of wisdom, for wisdom saith, come. To receive the operation of the seven inheritances. The fullness of dunamis, the fullness of a wealth transference, true wealth transference, where we're brought to sit into the high places, where we're brought to sit into the centers of influence. Wisdom, might, honor, glory, blessings, a house of the seven inheritances. You clothe us in it. We receive and prepare our spirit for the crown of seven inheritances. We receive today the crowning of the seven inheritances, and for the building of what you showed us in those fasts, a house of the seven pillars of apostolic government, seven pillars of wisdom, a house of salvation of the nations, just like Solomon, all the peoples of the earth came. Worship, intercession, divine healing, creative miracles, deliverance, benevolence, a house of great, great benevolence, discipleship, a perfected house under a perfected priesthood, a house of kings for which wisdom is crowned. Every one of us will partake of the greatness of this crown, the fullness of it, the glory of it, the perfection of it. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, "Well done, thou good and faithful followers, to follow me into these things. Follow me into life, for wisdom will become a tree of life to you that find her, and a crown of glory she will encompass you with, and a house you will sit at her table, and you will go in and out from her table." Thank you. Amazing journey to the place we've come, the culmination and all of our labors in the Spirit, all of the prayers, all of the ministry, all of the preparation to bring us here in this state of unity, God. And we say with our heart, it shall be, even it as it was told to us. Against hope, we have believed in hope. We stagger no more at your promises, but strong in faith, giving glory to you that what you have promised us, you will perform it, Lord. For at the end of the 70th year, when it completed, I will visit you, and I will perform my good word to you. I have a plan of good, of peace, of prosperity, and not of evil, to give unto you your expected end. Will the Son of Man find faith? I will give unto you the expected end. You will seek me with all of your heart, the whole heart, and you will find me. You will go and pray unto me as we are today. You will hearken unto us. You will hear us. You will find us. We will be found of you. And so many of us in this house will behold your majestic glory of the second coming King. The day that crown is released, I believe a good portion of this house will be called up to see it. We set our expectation for it, to behold you, Lord, in your majestic second coming glory. To behold, to see you, to hear the voice of the trumpet saying, come up hither. This very door that John passed through shook at a decree of the seraphim when Isaiah saw the Lord. And the seraphim saw the day the whole earth would be filled with your glory. They saw our day. That door shook, knowing a whole generation would come through it. A generation of kings, a crown would come through that door. That door shook and trembled that day. It is to this door we watch and wait. This Jordan Gate, this Jordan River, that we stand in next to this glorious ark. We stand upon the 12 stones of apostolic government, the foundations of wisdom's house that was given to us in this journey. And we say we'll not be moved. We say it shall be even as it was told to us. We shall receive the crown. We shall wear the 7 eyes and the 7 horns of omnipotent dominion. We shall dwell with wisdom in the highest seat. She will administrate her house and build it once again. Thank you for all of your mercy. Thank you for all of your patience with us, Lord. Your incredible love, Father, we found along the way.